10. Daniel chapter 10. We finished with the lion's den, Daniel chapter 6. And of course, before that, we had covered Daniel chapter 7, which was Daniel 2 was Nebuchadnezzar's view of the reigning empires of man and the times of the Gentiles. And Daniel chapter 7 is where the beasts come into play. And that was God's view of the empires that come into play with, that was, you know, Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 went together. And we spent time looking at Daniel chapter 8, and then we backed up. And so, go to Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10, and I'm going to read here. And, the name of the message tonight is How God Strengthened and Taught Daniel. And I think you're going to find this very helpful, and it's a very uniform truth that's through the Bible. But watch this. Who goes, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. Notice that word thing. A thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing. And that neat thing is three times, and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Now you can write in your Bible, Tigris. It's the same thing. In other words, the Tigris River, which is a little more popular name, is the same as Hiddekel. And there we go, verse 5. So Hiddekel, you can have Tigris right written right there. Then verse 5, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked. Behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face is the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. And this is similar to Revelation chapter 1. Remember where Jesus appeared to John? And it looks very similar, but we're going to find out later when we get into chapter 11 and 12 that it's not. Jesus is doing something else at this time, but it is interesting how it is similar. And so you've got the messenger here, and then verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quake fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Many think that's how that my words, when they hear my words, that how it affects them. They fall in a deep sleep on their face, in their pew. Okay, that was a joke. All right, never mind. Here we go. Watch this. Verse number 10. And behold, a hand of my wife touched me and said, wake up, the preacher's looking at you. Never mind. Okay, ready? Watch this. Which, I'm just trying to keep you with it. Okay, ready? Here we go. And set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken his word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the multitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved. You know, that's two times. And Daniel, you know, if John was the apostle that was the one whom Jesus loved, that was the title. That's New Testament. Old Testament would be Daniel, the beloved, the one who's greatly beloved to the Lord. And I think this chapter is going to show us why, but I think that's such an interesting title. It says, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou whether I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee. Now, verse 21, I know we're at the close of the chapter, but watch this. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Why don't we pray one more time, and then we'll dive into this. Father, thank you again, Lord, for your blessed, precious, pure word. Help me, please, Lord, as we teach this, as we go through this, we need your understanding. We need your help. And then, Father, help it to apply it to our lives. Lord, please, as we, Lord, examine the heroes that you've given us to encourage us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. See that last verse there, 21, it says, I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture. First of all, what's the word scripture mean? It comes from the word script or written, right? So isn't it interesting? The angel says, it says he showed Daniel what was noted in the scripture of truth. You really got to follow this. This is a neat thought, okay? Daniel is troubled over chapter 9, okay? He just, in chapter 9, we'll cover it next week. It's a great prayer. Three of the greatest prayers in the Bible. It's interesting. Start with 9. You have Nehemiah chapter 9, a prayer for revival. You have Ezra chapter 9, and you have Daniel chapter 9. It's interesting how they're all three prayers, and they're prayers for God to work. Well, Daniel's struggling, and one of the things the messenger does, he says, I'm going to show you what is written in truth. Well, there was no book of Daniel yet. And the one that came from heaven showed him the scripture of truth, and forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, right? Psalm 119, verse 89, the Bible always has been. So isn't that interesting? Daniel's question is over God's visions, right? Lord, what's happening here? And the angel shows him the written word from heaven before it's penned here on earth. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Isn't that awesome? And these people that say we got to have the originals, they've never seen the originals. God doesn't need the originals. Amen. Before they were on earth, they were in heaven. So that's I have scripture of truth underlined in my Bible. And I have over the word scripture written, because that kind of triggers you there. Let's go back to and let's work our way through this chapter here. And, first of all, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Okay. Cyrus, real quick. We'll come right back here. Go to Ezra 1:1. Ezra chapter 1. Right back before Psalms. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. If you see 2 Chronicles, Ezra's close there right at the end. Okay. Ezra chapter 1, verse number 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Okay, now wait a second. Daniel 10 is the third year of Cyrus. So what Ezra is doing in getting a group of 42,000 Jews to go back to Jerusalem is the same time frame that Daniel is here in the third. So it's right. I mean, it's just 2 years later than Ezra chapter one. Just finish it. It says in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. You can go back to Daniel chapter 10. So 200 years before Cyrus comes on the scene, God prophesies in Isaiah 44 and Isaiah 45, there's going to come a king that's going to rebuild the temple after I spank my people, like Jeremiah chapter 25 had said. So for 70 years, they've gone into Babylon. Daniel's there for 70 years. It's now time for Cyrus to send them all back, and only 42,000 want to go. Out of some say between 600,000 and a million people, that's not even 1%. That's such a small number. And Daniel, I think, is really floored. Now, he's an old man. They made it so he couldn't have a family. And I thought last week he was right around 85. He may even be close to 90. He's not going to make that trip back to Jerusalem, but he's got this question. Lord, what's happening? How come only 42,000 under Cyrus? Cyrus is even going to pay for the building of the temple. How come so few want to go back? God, this doesn't make any sense. And God showed him, if you're there in chapter 10, look right at the end of chapter 9, that we'll look at this 70-week prophecy here in a little bit. But it says, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And it says here, to what? Finish the transgression. Okay, I'll show you what all that means. But God chose Daniel. I sent them into the land of Babylon for punishment, but they didn't get right. They don't want to return. They have no more use for God than the Jews that went into captivity. They don't want to come back. Only 42,000, something like that. And he says the transgression isn't finished. We're in the times of the Gentiles, and when the tribulation begins, that 70th week, it will start the tribulation period to do what? Finish the transgression. They're still not done. Their hearts are still hard. You know, it's an interesting thought. Daniel's going, but we've done our 70 years. You know, they didn't observe the Sabbath. Every seventh year, you're supposed to let the land lie waste. For 490 years, they didn't trust God enough to obey. So God said, that's my land. Puts them in captivity. So he says, so my land can rest, right? For 70 years. And Daniel's going, but Lord, we paid it. What more could, and God says, the transgression still isn't finished. And the tribulation's coming after the time of the Gentiles, Daniel's 70th week. It's an illustration of this. You know, sometimes you can watch people go through something and you think, boy, I sure hope they're giving God their attention now that that's happening in their life. And you know what you learn in the Bible? Just like punishment didn't get the Jews straight. Now, they didn't go into idolatry again. Jews to this day still remember the 70-year Babylonian captivity for their idolatry. And the Jews, okay, they learned their lesson on idolatry, but there's more godless Jews than there is, you know, Jews that, you know, worship you know, Judaism, which goes to show punishment doesn't get people right. Punishment doesn't fix people's hearts when they get, you know who fixes your heart? You do. When you decide to humble yourself and admit you're wrong, when you'll notice this in the Bible, when you want to get right with God, it's your decision. God's always this way, right? God's always like, whenever you're done playing, right? When you figure it out, the devil's a liar. I'm right here with his arms open wide. He's always there. But how does your heart get right? It's not through punishment. right? The Jews, only 42,000 want to go back out of probably near a million people. Very small group. Punishment doesn't make you get your heart right with God. If anything, I've watched punishment turn people bitter. Well, this happened and God let this happen and this. Yeah, your life isn't so blessed without the Lord, is it? But that doesn't, goes right over their head. Sickness, all of that. Here, to finish the transgression, still has to take place. Daniel's got this question, and he says the thing that he's asking God, this thing is given. He needs understanding to understand what's happening. And I have labeled this also, this chapter is, you know, there's fasts for different causes in the Bible, like Ezra's fast said, we fasted for 3 days that we might know the way the Lord would lead us. When you need God's direction in your life, right? There's Ezra's fast. Then there was Paul's fast. He got saved, right? Didn't understand what was happening. And Lord, please, this time in my life, now with Paul, it says he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. That's the maximum amount that you can not drink water, okay? Don't go past that, all right? Or you're going to see the Lord, all right? So Paul fasted for an understanding of what God was doing in his life. This is a fast for, look at the end of verse 2, how long did he fast? It says for 3 weeks. 3 full weeks, 21 days. This is a 21-day fast when you want to. Key word is verse 1. He said to understand what God's doing in your life. Also, this is a 3-week fast to understand the Bible. When you read something in the Bible, amen, that you want to understand and you want to apply. This is for, I call this the understanding fast. I've called it the Daniel fast before, but it is to understand the Bible and what God's doing in your life. Amen. Lord, please show me. And that's what Daniel's praying here. It said, so he set out to fast for 3 weeks. Verse three, it says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all. That means he didn't bathe. He didn't eat or bathe for 3 weeks. Okay. Now, when was the last time that you read your Bible that you said, you know what, I'm not going to eat or bathe? Pastor, I know people that don't bathe. I know, but they don't bathe because they read something in the Bible that troubled them. Daniel said, I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to anoint myself. That means a bath. Or I'm not going to eat for 3 weeks till God, please show me. It is interesting. Daniel wanted to learn the Bible and learn God's truth so badly. He was willing to, you know how the Bible defines fasting? Okay, look at verse, it says here, verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, watch, and to chasten thyself. What's chasten mean? It means to, you could say spank, okay? Fasting is when you chasten yourself and you weaken your flesh so that you can tell more spiritually what God is trying. You can see more easily the spiritual side of things. He said you were willing to, I don't want to use the word punish because the word chasten is what a father does to the son, but he said you were willing to chasten yourself or afflict yourself, like it says in Isaiah, so that God, you could hear God's voice better. If I weaken my flesh, then my spirit is heightened. And he says there, it is a neat thought. Okay. Last time you read something in your, you know, most people, when they're reading through their Bible, they're like, you know, I read it or they read over it, and whether they understood it or not, it didn't matter. But have you ever heard somebody say, hey, oh, you're not eating? Yeah, I read something this morning in my Bible. I don't understand. I'm just asking God to help me with it. Let's face it. This is the biggest book probably. Okay, I don't know of a bigger book than the Bible. That's a good thing. I know I didn't read anything like it in high school. I read some big books, but not that big. Amen. Written over 1,500 years, God used 40 men. I would say this, there's a lot to this book. And properly learning it and properly reading it takes a lot. Nobody understands it all. It's a supernatural book. The only way you learn this book is when you want it. Daniel wanted it. God showed him truth, and then he goes, "What's that mean? Oh, God, what's going on? Please give me understanding." Verse 1, he says, "Oh, I've got to fast." Daniel learned the Bible because he wanted it. Neat thought. I'm learning this as a pastor. Most people don't know the Bible because they don't want to. Okay, they don't want to know it beyond reading a couple of chapters a day. But to sit down, well, you say you're supposed to sit down and study it. But wait a second, I covered in Sunday school, all of us are supposed to read the Bible, study the Bible, sing the Bible, memorize the Bible, and meditate on the Bible, right? Okay, a pastor may have more time to do it, but we're supposed to do more with the Bible than just read it, right? Okay? And the only reason people don't know the Bible is because they don't want to. You know, this is a convicting statement. I'm just trying to get you to think tonight. You know how much Bible you know? As much as you want. Do you know how come you don't know more? Because you don't want to. That's a good thought, isn't it? God will give you as much as you want. And when Daniel's begging God for truth, please show me, teach me, give me understanding. Oh my God, please show me. And God's going to give him a whole lot. Doesn't God say, "I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty"? Anybody? And so you picture God saying, anybody want it? Anybody can have as much as you want. God never says that's enough. We are always the ones who say, okay, that's enough for now. Right? Okay, top it off. Yeah, good. See you next week. You know, I mean, we're the ones. Isn't that interesting? Here, Daniel, your Bible and learning it and understanding it. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. We'll come right back here to Daniel 10. Proverbs chapter 2. I mean, it's amazing. People will sit down and watch sporting events for an hour and a half. And that's if there's no overtime. They'll go to baseball games. They'll go to, you know, I'd pick any sporting event. But if church goes over an hour and a half, or if, you know, Brother Grady preaches longer than 2 hours,
oh, that was a long one. Two nights in a row? Three? Four? He, in 4 days, he preached 8 hours. 2 hours. That's just too much. But they'll sit down and spend that much time on their television. That's because the day and age we live in. If it's entertainment, we're entertaining ourselves to death. Okay? But when it comes to buying the truth and selling it not, buying the truth is what? Sitting up and listening. Paying attention. Right? Giving yourself to it. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. Beautiful thoughts along these ends. And I'm not going to park here all night, but watch. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Verse 2. Proverbs 2:2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Watch. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Crying and lifting up your voice. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You know, when you want to make money, you got to get serious. It takes all your attention, doesn't it? When you want to learn a trade, when you want to get your degree, it takes all your attention. Same thing with truth and the Bible. You know what Daniel said? Learning the Bible and God's truth is the most important thing I'll learn in my life. I know he's a 90-year-old man, let's say 85 years old, but it's a priority. God said, when you
when you want truth like you want money. You got, in other words, if you want to learn the Bible, I like what one old preacher said. I don't think it's God's problem. I think it's your wanter's broke. It's a want to issue. God's not the problem. Your problem is you're just so happy with so little. It's a want to. You have to desire it. One more verse. Ready? When you what's it say? For if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Wow. When you want her as bad as you want money, if I paid you, would you read your Bible every day? So you'd read it for money, but you'll wait to get around to it if it's just up to your... You see where I'm headed? You mean you'd do it for money, but you won't do it for God. God says when you want it as bad as you want money, that's when you start to learn it. It takes and just to reiterate this, one more verse and then we'll move on. Look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. You're there in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 18, look at verse 1. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Do you know when you learn truth? When you want it more than you want anything else. God says, I'll give it to anybody that wants it. The problem is, there's not a whole lot of people that want it. Because our society is so distracted. But if you want to know how you get God's wisdom, separate yourself. Nothing is as important to me as that book, and you let the Bible consume you. Nobody reads it too much. Nobody knows too much of it, right? Through knowledge are my people, lack of knowledge are my people destroyed, right? If anything, we're guilty of knowing less than we should than more, okay? Nobody's there yet. I drove that point home. Now go back to Daniel chapter 10. Here's Daniel not eating or bathing. Nothing comfortable is allowed in his life until he gets an answer from God. Now remember, he's used to this because as a teenage boy, remember chapter 1? He wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. So he's used to saying no. He's been doing this for 70, maybe 75 years now. He's been living a life of denial. He's let everybody else have all the comfortable things. He says, all I want is the Bible. Look at verse 4. And in the 24th day of the month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, which is the Tigris. So that's where he's located. And he sees this figure, the messenger. Notice verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Notice this carefully. Look at verse 7. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. Okay, so something supernatural happened, right? I mean, a quaking, everything shaking. And the end of the verse there, it says they fled. So a supernatural quake is happening and they didn't understand, but rather than stop and say, well, what's Daniel see that we don't see? It says they saw not the vision. It doesn't say they couldn't see it. I can't help but think they didn't want to be bothered by it. Let's just say it was Daniel and four other men. It doesn't say how many men. It just says there's a small group of men. Daniel's the only one that sees it, but everybody feels the shaking. And Daniel's the only one that's going to see the vision that God has for him. Maybe it's because the others didn't want to. That's the society we live in, right? It's not, I mean, some people, when you give them a gospel tract, it's like, here, let me give you, you think you were passing out COVID. You know what I mean? Oh, get that away from me. It's goofy. It's just a piece of paper with Bible on it. Just an invitation to church. It's because they don't want anything to do with it. Here, these men, Daniel's the only one out of this group that sees the vision. supernatural event is taking place. And then here, verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. This is a lot like Isaiah chapter 6. Remember when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up? He said, woe is me, a man undone, for I live among a people that's undone. He said, I saw my corruption and my filth. Isn't that what happens when you see God? You see yourself as you really are, and you're like, oh, Lord, there's no hope. I'm a mess. He said, all my comeliness, he said, and anything, all the strength I thought I had, he said, they were gone. He said, in the sight of, he said, I saw this vision, and God showed me who I was and what was getting ready to happen. Okay, watch this. That's another reason. All these near-death experiences on the internet, people are saying they had where they saw God. Nobody's talking about how corrupt they are. Nobody's talking about every person in the Bible that ever saw the Lord did what? Fell down as dead men. Nobody's talking that way. Oh, there was this light. And boy, then the drama's going to go skyrocketing. You know what I mean? And then, oh, then I saw. But nothing about you seeing what a nasty, dirty, rotten sinner you are and how bad you need God. I think you saw the devil. You didn't see the Lord. Amen. You saw a light, all right. But Satan, right? What's Lucifer mean? Light bearer. I think you saw something, but it wasn't holy. Amen? All this trash all over the internet. Here we go. Here we go. Ready? He says, and I retained no strength. Verse 9. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And then I heard the voice of his... And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. There it is again, falling forward. Verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Can I just draw your attention to the word touched? Remember how the word thing is three times in one verse? It's interesting. It's what God's calling the vision, right? Daniel saw the thing and understood the thing. Now the word touched is in verse 10. And God touches him to hear the words of God. Look at down at verse 16. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. There's the second touching. God touched his mouth to speak the words of God. So God touches him, right, to hear the words of God. Then in verse 16, God touches him to speak the words of God. And then look at verse 18. It says, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. So the touch, the first touch was to hear the words of God. The second was to speak the words of God. And the third was to serve God in God's strength, not Daniel's strength. Because it says his strength was gone. The touch of God. The touch of the Lord. I thought that was interesting as far as, and that's just a, to me, it's a beautiful little outline there to think about. A hand, verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. I really think love in the Bible is experienced through consistency. Who is Daniel? There to be a Daniel. We sang it tonight. Someone who as a teenager said, I'm not going to defile myself with a king's meat. I'll just eat porridge. Let God bless. And he's been doing that for 70 years. When it came time to pray, remember Daniel chapter 6, going to go to the lion's den. He prayed as aforetime. He just, same thing. What does it take to be beloved of the Lord? John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think the consistency is so important. If he be constant, if he be constant, if he does the same thing each time. You say, well, where's the, okay, wouldn't consistency be a picture of commitment? Somebody said, you're just a robot. I'm not a robot, but I want to live by schedule. I want to do things consistently without question. I like, in other words, Bible, prayer, soul winning, church. It's always the same. It's never up for, well, I don't know. Let me see. I don't know. I'll say it again. Isn't consistency a picture of commitment? So what does it take? The only man in the Bible, David's the only one that's called a man after God's own heart. It's interesting to study David and see how come David was a man after God's own heart. Daniel's the only one that's called beloved of the Lord. Wow, for 70 years without a family, without a nation, without a home, without a religion, without a Bible, you still live for God. Doing that for 70 years. What a man. What a man. Beloved of the Lord. Notice what God tells him here. He said, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. First of all, it doesn't say Michael is mentioned as the fighting angel in this passage, but it doesn't say that Gabriel is normally the one. Okay, if you divide the angels in heaven from the Michael, the fighting angels, they protect Israel. Okay, and they're also fighting in this verse against the prince of Persia. We'll look at that in just a second. And then you've got Gabriel, the archangel over what? The messengers. And so it doesn't say it's Gabriel, but most would say because he's giving a message from the Lord that this is Gabriel. Gabriel's mentioned elsewhere in the book of Daniel. So here's this, let's just call him Gabriel. It says here, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And I just want to give you a thought. Daniel hears that Gabriel is getting ready to show him God's word. Like verse 21 says, the scripture of truth. And Daniel started trembling. You mean I'm going to see God's word? You're going to explain to me God's truth from heaven. Okay, wait a second. Daniel didn't have a Bible, right? But you do. I remember Mom Woolston. Mom and Pop Woolston, you know, when we go up to the Serviceman Center when I was in the Marine Corps. And, you know, Pop was, we called him Pop, you know, and he was 6'3". And every Marine that came into the Serviceman Center, he greeted him and said, little buddy, come here, buddy. Do you know you on your way to hell? Come here, buddy. Let me show you from the every time. Pop could win, I think, the devil to the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. But that's the way Pop always greeted. Little buddy, you're on your way to hell. Come here, let me show you the Bible. And he'd take somebody over there and take them through the, I mean, it was the same way. Now, Mom Woolston, she was awesome. She was 78. And when it came time to get, now that's back when they were doing the knees replacement both at once. You know, now they do them one at a time. But that's when they would do them both at the same time. They replaced Mom Woolston's knees. She was on the couch at their house, and you know what she did to pass the time away? She went through the phone book, called every number, okay, that thick. Hello, this is Mom Woolston, and I'm here at my house today, and I just wanted to ask you a question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven, or would you have any doubts? And did you know she, the whole 2-3 months she had to sit on the couch while her knees, you know, she let it, she said, I got it down. I average about two to four a day. She said, the most I've ever led to the Lord in one day on the phone is 6. But there's only been one of those. You couldn't stop her from soul winning. I said that because she used to say, whenever I have the chance of leading a soul to Christ, she said, I tremble at the thought of the responsibility to show them they're a sinner and on their way to hell, and that God put me in the equation to change their eternity. I tremble. And I remember she must have said that, I don't know, three or four times. And I just remember that when I'm reading this and I'm hearing Daniel hear from the angel, I'm going to show you, I have a message from the Lord. And Daniel starts, you're going to show me the word of God. Then can I apply that to us? Isn't it an awesome responsibility to have the Bible in your hands? For God to speak to you? We believe they're the pure words of God, right? No man's words. So when you open that book, it's God speaking to you. Have you ever trembled at the word of God? What a beautiful thought that God would speak to me from his word. Here we go. Keep on going. It says here, and I trembled. I stood trembling. Verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day, boy, this verse right here, that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard from the first day. If that's not a verse that says, don't quit praying. Most people say, well, I prayed and God didn't answer. No, you prayed once and you didn't get your way and you quit praying. But God told Daniel from the day you started praying, 3 weeks ago, I heard. What a verse. That's how come, now it helps you understand how, what does God say? Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing? Pray unstop? Well, that's a lot of talking to God. Pray without ceasing. And it's not a, it's an attitude that goes something like this. Lord, you're the only one that can give this. You're the only one that can do it. You're not on trial, but God, you said ask, so I'm asking. And you said knock, so I'm knocking. And Lord, you said seek, so I'm seeking. But would you please? And then you give God the request. From the day, first day you started praying, I've heard it. I just got in a spiritual battle out in outer space on the way here. The devil opposed me and a spiritual battle was going on. But I've heard you since the day you started praying. Want another neat verse? You're right there in Daniel chapter 10. I think this verse 12 ought to be linked to chapter 9. Watch this. Look at verse number 21. It says, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, watch this, being caused to fly swiftly. What caused him to fly? What caused him to fly in heaven and to leave his place? The moment Daniel started praying, God said, move! And he was caused to fly. Same thing with Daniel chapter 10. From the first day you started praying, I heard you. Gabriel said, God sent me. I was caused. I just can't help but think. We'll find out when we get to heaven. You know, there's so many videos I want to see. Amen. But I can't help but think being caused. I wonder if Gabriel said, the moment you started praying, God pushed me out of heaven there, caused me to fly. Get down there and answer him. Well, now wait a second. God's no respecter of persons, right? Okay, we know that. God's no respecter of persons. Then when you pray in the name of Jesus, right? What's that mean? That means for things that Jesus wants you to have, not stupid stuff, right? Okay, so when you pray in Jesus' name for right things, from the first day I heard you pray, I started moving. Your problem is you quit. Prayed three times. Then you, well, I guess God doesn't want me to have it. God says, is it right? Is it my will? Why would you stop? Do you need a loved one that needs saved? Is there somebody whose life you God needs to work in? From the day you started praying, God says, don't quit. There's a spiritual battle going on. Don't give up. Amen. What a verse. Daniel chapter 10. Go back there and look at. Now I'll show you the verse 13 and verse 20 should be I don't know, linked together, and they'll help you make sense. But the prince, how come he didn't make it right when Daniel started praying? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. 21 days, that's 3 weeks, right? He says, but lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. So the messenger Gabriel was sent. But the prince of Persia, who's the prince of Persia? This is not the king's son. Anytime the prince is mentioned, that's going to be your demonic power behind the earthly power. There's only one nation whose God is the Lord. Okay? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's a Bible verse, right? There's only one nation whose God is the Lord. That's Israel. All other nations, including America, have demons behind them. You only get to be president, you only get to be put in charge of a nation as you worship Satan. Luke 4:4, right? Okay, I can't do the Bible study with you right now. I'm just trying to remind you. Remember, Jesus said Satan told Jesus, Luke 4:4 is the key passage. You don't have to go to the cross. Bow down to me right now, and I'll give it all the kingdoms of the world, because they're mine, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Who does Satan give world powers to? Whoever worships him. So at this time, the prince of Persia, right? Persia just became a power, right? Babylon just got overcome, okay? So you have the spiritual powers of these kingdoms fighting, right? In the heavens. He said the demons were fighting. He said I was sent. He said, the prince of Persia opposed me. It took Michael, the fighting angel, to come and fight for me for 21 days, 3 weeks. Keep on reading the verse. Watch this. He says, Michael came to help me and remained there with the kings of Persia. Okay, look over at verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou that wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Wait a second. What Daniel 2 teaches? Gold is Babylon. Silver's Media Persia. Bronze is Greece. He's showing him, Daniel, when you pray, you've prayed in two kingdoms. Your prayers. Your fasting. You ever heard talking about that prayer? Their prayers move nations? Okay. When it's in the will of God. That's what Daniel's doing here. He says, as soon as the prince of Persia is done, who's the next empire to reign? Greece. That demon will be defeated, and the demon behind the earthly. What did it say in Ephesians 6:12? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what we're watching happen in Washington? The demons are manifesting themselves, but they've always been there. I guess Jimmy Carter, did he kick the bucket? Somebody, I heard there was a memorial or something. I wish he would. No, I'm just, he was a nasty person. But there's several, I said that to say, we knew it was evil, but you know what the Bible teaches us? Behind every earthly power, there is a demonic force, because Satan is the small g god of this world. He's had dominion since Adam gave it up in the garden, right? So he's had dominion. What happens when Jesus comes again? Revelation chapter 5, that book is open. The seals are opened. It's the title deed of the earth. And Jesus takes that title deed and he takes from Satan, takes it back. And then literally all hell breaks loose on the earth. I mean, it's a literal hell. So as far as what does the Bible teach us, and we look at, oh, China, they're trying to provoke a war by going against Taiwan, and Russia's then we're trying to provoke a war through the Ukraine and then the UN. And then what's, you do understand that there are demonic powers behind each continent, each ruler. And everything is going according to God's oversight plan. We're in the times of the Gentiles right now, right? But as you read your Bible, see, God gives you the other picture. Amen. That's why it's so goofy. You know, what are we going to do if we go to war with China? What are we going to do? Number one, you're not going to do nothing. Pray. Amen. You can pray, but satanic force. This is the times of the Gentiles. It culminates with the Antichrist. It's going to get darker and darker. It's going to get bloodier and bloodier. That's what makes Jesus's coming. We'll be the only ones. Everybody else on the face of the earth moans and groans. But we'll be the ones. Yes! It's over. You know what I mean? So as long as you got it, isn't the Bible wonderful? It gives you a good spiritual view of what's going on. Amen. What are we going to do? I think stick close to the Lord and keep serving God and keep loving the Lord. Watch this. Okay, so I linked verse 13 and verse 20 with you. Watch this. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people, Israel, in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. So it was for the present, and it was also a prophetic picture of what's getting ready to happen. Okay? Next, verse 15, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. The word dumb means unable to speak. I couldn't talk. And you know, the lesson here is, I'm watching the time, we need to hurry up, but when you pray, it would really help if you do what Daniel did and just listen to God instead of explaining your side and why you think things ought to be there. It's amazing what people call prayer. I spent time in prayer. No, you didn't. You spent time arguing with God why things needed to go your way. And Lord, you know this needs to happen. And God's going, you never ask me for anything. You're always defending yourself and telling me how things ought to go. That's not prayer. Prayer is asking God, and here Daniel said, you know, I became as dumb and I couldn't even talk. And sometimes it just helps if you'll just listen to the Lord instead of try to explain your side and justify what you've done. I became dumb. Just listen to God when you pray. Praying and listening in the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Verse number 16, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men, here we go, touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me. And watch this, I have retained no strength. My strength is gone. I'm going to come back to that. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth, there it is again, no strength in me. Neither is there breath left in me. So Daniel said, I quit defending myself, and now I'm just going to listen, and Lord, I'm learning that I am nothing. I have no strength in me. I have no more breath. I'm not defending myself. I'm just resigned. I am nothing. Verse 18, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Now strength comes from God. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. I love that song. When I came to the end of myself, Daniel had to come to the end of himself and realize there's nothing I have. God doesn't need me. God, I am a nothing. There are some people, they are so talented. They're so talented that their talent gets in the way and their pride affects them and to literally where they self-destruct. There's many more talented people than me. I've met some guys, they could pastor a church and nobody'd ever know they weren't right with God. They got the personality and they've got the skills and and yet they never do much for the Lord because they rely on their talent. I can naturally do this. And Daniel said, I'm nothing. And he said, as moment I resigned, dear God, I am nothing. God touched me and strengthened me. I got God's strength when I said, God, I can't do this. When I surrendered in weakness to the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Then he says, then I got God's strength. God You know, the older a Christian you are and the more mature you start learning in the Christian life, I trusted him at salvation because of what he did for me, right? He died in my place. Then the rest of the Christian life is what? Me learning to trust him more and more. What's that song? Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning. And the less I can do things myself, and the more I can trust him, the more God uses me. It's wonderful when you can say, God, I don't have what it takes. I can't do this. And God says, do you want my strength? Please touch me and help me. And God fills us. And that's where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. Almost done here. Look at, of course, we said, I showed you verse 20. He says, and when he had spoken unto me, I'm in verse 19, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Now I can serve you in your power. And then verse 21, it says, I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. How did God strengthen and teach Daniel? By showing Daniel that he was nothing and letting Daniel admit. I bet I have written in my Bible, he came to the end of himself. God, I have no answers. Please help me. I think that's supposed to be done in every area of our Christian life. Daniel here gives a wonderful aspect of spiritual truth, and I hope this is a help tonight. How did God strengthen and teach him? Let's pray. Father.